In this episode of What I Would Tell My 22-Year-Old Self, Adam and Patrick talk about their first ever AA meeting together. Oh, the romantic table-lit dinners over coffee. Enjoy, folks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What I Would Tell My 22-Year-Old Self. This is your host, Patrick Kling.
And I'm Adam Rotella.
Adam Rotella, wow. You know, we're in the 90s on our episodes, and we've covered so much ground. Can you believe it? Just we're approaching our 100th episode here, but can you believe how much content we have out there from two guys,
dude,
doing what we're doing?
I think it's a testament to both of our work ethics and both of us just having maybe nothing to do. For a couple hours a day.
We have gone through an interesting transformation over the past several months.
Well, not only has the podcast, Patrick, but I think that my attitude has changed dramatically over the past few months as well. Mm. You know, when we first started this podcast and you called it a motivational podcast, I got a little upset at you for that. But as time has progressed and as I have, you know, progressed in my goal, you know, and that's what's so great about this podcast, folks, is that Patrick and I's views, we're very open-minded people. So our views will be constantly changing throughout this whole podcast. And I think that that's something that's very exciting too.
Right. In the very beginning of the show, in the pilot episode and the earlier episodes, we actually made a very big effort to tell old stories so that people can kind of get to know us a little better,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that are just joining us, our podcast, catching us for the first time, we've only gotten better. And people say that, hey, your podcast has gotten a lot better because we were figuring out what it was. What is the thing?
Exactly.
So that's yeah.
Well, and not only that, man, I think that that's a great message to people out there that might be thinking of starting their own thing or might be thinking about starting anything in life. If you come up with an idea, dude, you just need to start and you can figure it out as you go along. I mean, you hear me say this all the time. Content is content. It really is.
Yeah.
We don't know what's good. Good is subjective to the people that are listening, to the people that are watching. As long as we're making content, we're getting better. We're learning as we do it. So I really enjoyed what we have been doing.
And it's interesting because, you know, you say content is content. I've yet to have like a hate mail.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Which is amazing.
and we have over 7,700 downloads. So you are not alone. If you are listening to this podcast right now, you are not alone. People are listening and we love that. And we want to get to know all of you. But we're going to let you get to know us a little more. So this is going to be like almost like a nostalgic episode where we used to tell stories and those aren't going away. It's just there's been real things happening in our lives that we've wanted to talk about recently, a lot with the NWA, with my theme. Like there's been a lot of shit going on. So we haven't really been talking about those stories. But ladies and gentlemen, we want to go back to the back to talk about Adam and our first AA meeting we went together.
Yeah.
Now, if you have not listened to one of our most popular, most downloaded episodes, episode number 6, Rock Bottom Cabin, that is like the prequel to this story. Adam, can you summarize Rock Bottom Cabin in 30 seconds and make sure that every single person who's listening to this stops listening at this moment and goes back and listens to that episode so that they can then get the full context for this. But
sure.
Tease it. I want this to be the best pitch I've ever heard of this.
Sure. So, guys, a very long time ago, you know, one of the things that Patrick and I talk about on this podcast is making ourselves better, always looking to the future. And in this episode, episode 6, Rock Bottom Cabin, you hear my probably lowest point ever when it comes to my drinking habits then at the time. And how long ago was this Rock Bottom Cabin, Patrick? It has to be 15 years by now. At least 12.
Yeah. I think we're, I probably was around
God, well, here, okay, it's here's, here's,
10, 9 to 10
here's,
years,
here's
to 10
the
years,
main
I'd
point,
say.
Folks. Once this moment happened, this was a deciding moment in the journey that I'm on right now, and it started a very, very long time ago. So if you would like to hear me talk extremely openly and also extremely humorously about a very hard, sad day and a very sad time in my life. But it is very funny though too, guys. Like, when we do this podcast, we're not here to make people down. This is a motivational podcast because we're humorous people. We can look at ourselves with a lens of humor. Thank God.
Yeah.
Jesus, I would have killed myself 12 times by now.
Well, and it's like I always say whenever some people are like, "Hey, you're a really great person, Patrick." And I say, "Yeah, I am. Thank you. I know I am."
Yeah.
We know we're funny people.
Yeah.
So we're not going to put on some guise of like, "Oh, no, I'm not that funny." We are. We know it. And that's why we had the gall to do a motivational podcast, humorous podcast. And we also have that work ethic.
Yeah.
How many podcasts do you look at that you see that have like 12 episodes, 5 episodes, or they change their format so much? They start at 8 episodes and then they're, you know, 2 episodes a week, 1 episode a week, and it's once a month. And it's if you're releasing content inconsistently, people can't connect. You're going to lose your following. I had really good friends of mine that had thousands of listeners to their podcast, and they just stopped recording. Or they would release it every 6 months. And it's just, you're sitting on a huge ecosystem, a huge opportunity that of where you could sincerely create an enterprise.
Yep.
Great people. But the thing is, they all have day jobs. You know what I mean? That's the thing. But ladies and gentlemen, we have the time. We have the legwork. We are all in until the day we die, or at least one of us. And then we'll get somebody else
hopefully
to come
Patrick
on the podcast.
First.
And probably will be at this point, yeah. I convinced Adam. He convinced himself. I don't convince Adam of anything. He convinced
that.
Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam convinced himself that it was time to go to an AA meeting. And for those of you that don't know, Alcoholics Anonymous is a program of attraction. It's very difficult to convince people to go into it because unless you get in on what do they call it, the pink slip, which I think you had already been on that point.
I was.
Is it a pink slip or whatever they call it?
Well, it's a court order where let's say that you happen to get a DUI, which I do have in a very past life. I got a DUI when I was 22. Another good story for a future podcast.
Oh no, we have that.
Oh
down.
Jesus. Okay, well go find that too,
it's
folks.
It's already documented.
Shit, I can't wait till I go back and listen to these things, man. Oh my God, it's going to be like a journey just for me. But yeah, there's a system where if you happen to get a DUI, if you're stupid enough to do something like that, then they will court order you to go to AA meetings. And I was on that system, yes, sir.
And so for those of you that want to go back and listen to that DUI episode...
Jesus.
I'm looking right now. You guys saw another 10 seconds.
Sure. So this is what we're going to talk about today, though, is Patrick and I's first ever trip to AA together. Patrick was a very good friend, and he took me to a few meetings. I didn't have a car back then, and Patrick, his fathers are actually in AA. Do your dad still go to AA to this day?
They do. They don't go as much as they probably should.
But they're not even in that mindset at all anymore. They've been sober for like 15 years now, right?
Yeah, they have been sober for 20, almost 20.
Damn,
I think it's like 20
years.
Amazing. Something crazy like that.
That's amazing.
And just that DUI episode is episode number 19. For those folks that want to go back and listen to it. So Adam, I just had to get that plug in there. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, no, good.
Since I was 14, my parents have been involved in AA. And my cousin Brandon's been involved with AA. And it's been something that's been out there as a resource. But you need to be in the right state of mind to want to go there, right?
Yeah.
Like I and no, no, I don't think anyone's ever really gone to AA with peer pressure. Really, like they
there's
need
no
to.
way. There's no way. Like you're not going to AA if you're still having fun when you're drinking.
Yeah, you need to have usually you need to have consequences or hit rock bottom, which happened at the rock bottom episode number 6. Check it out on podcast app.
This is going to turn into just a fucking plug show.
So Adam, what was your experience on that first AA meeting, or what? So you had already gone to AA. What was your first experience like when you went under a pink slip, or when you were court ordered?
Sure, sure.
Were you just did you show up drunk? Did you have glasses on? Were you just completely out of it?
Well, no, no. I showed up to the meeting. This was probably when I was like 22, like I said, something like that. It was I really had no idea what I was getting into. It was definitely a time when I thought that I was king of the world, and yeah. I'm just having fun. I'll never stop drinking. Why would I ever want to feel sober? And that's a crazy statement, folks. Why would I ever want to feel sober? And
how when you were 22, 23, how old were you? How often were you drinking?
Every like, single day.
Every day. Just every day.
And not just drinking, getting blasted. Like blasted so, every single day. Yeah. So
how much would you have to drink to get drunk? Because when you build up a tolerance and it's hard to get drunk, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was, at that time I was probably just getting cases of, you know, PBR, getting as much cheap beer as I possibly could for the cheapest price. Because if you spend all your time drinking, you don't have that much money. Imagine that, folks. And drinking a lot of just PBR and cheap beer, a lot of cheap vodka, you know, like the stuff that you buy at the liquor store for like a giant bottle for $7.
Oh, that
was me, man. That's like flammable. That was me.
That's just like flammable. Jeez.
Yeah. So the first AA meeting I ever went to was I thought all those people were losers. They didn't have self-control, which of course I didn't fucking have self-control at the time either, but I was in my own reality. I didn't know that. So I thought everyone in there was a loser. I didn't pay attention to anything. I got my thing signed and then I left. I would never say, you know, the closing prayer or anything like that. I wouldn't participate. I wouldn't say anything. It was just me going through the motions so that I could get out of it.
Yeah.
But I never did show up drunk or anything like that, because that would be, you know, I still had manners and I was still respectful when I was drinking. That would just be very disrespectful to those people.
Well, they have that happen.
Oh, all the time.
And they just showed up, which, I mean, if there was ever an alcoholic that needed to be an AA, it would be an alcoholic that had the audacity to show up to an AA meeting drunk.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
Not that I'm throwing shade on them. And your mindset was not very open.
Completely closed.
Well, you were in your early 20s and you knew everything about life and the right way of doing things.
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah. Which turned out to be all false, my friends.
Right.
I was 100% wrong about life when I was 22.
Yeah. That's why we call this episode, the show, What I Would Tell My 22-Year-Old Self.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Adam, look. We had that shit bag of a weekend, literally scraping up shit off the ground.
Well, hey, the first 24 hours were a blast.
Yeah.
I was riding on a boat. I was sleeping on a balcony overlooking all of Lake Arrowhead. Is that where we were, Lake Arrowhead?
Yeah, we were right on the fucking lake, man.
We were riding in boats. We were. It was a great time. But singing Benny and the Jets in a jacuzzi.
Yeah,
that was good.
That's a fantastic time. Yeah, Benny and the Jets, a favorite, What I Would Tell favorite.
Not many people out there have a rock bottom song, my friends. I do. Every time I hear Benny and the Jets, I think back to my rock bottomness.
Yeah. Hey, Kia just walked in, folks. You want to say hi, Kia? Hold on. You just want to say hi. You don't want to say hi.
Hello.
Hey, Adam.
How's life?
Kid.
It's going good.
You know that our fan, look how, that, you know, you have your makeup and everything on? You look stunning. You know that our you know, it's like pouring rain outside?
I know.
What's the alternative plan?
Well, the chapel.
Okay, we'll be talking about this later.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, okay. By the way, Kia, you know that you were requested by our fans to be on the podcast more?
What?
Yeah, you and Haley need to start a side project, and then you guys will probably have more followers because you're both hot in a matter of minutes. You know how hard it is for two guys to make it in the podcast game, Kia?
That's true.
All right, I'll be at the wedding, baby.
All right, and that's at 5:30? What time is the wedding at?
It's at 3:15.
Oh, like 30? Oh, 3:15? Downstairs?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I don't actually, you may need to ask someone else, like, how to get there.
All right. All right, just can you text me something more definitive than that?
Hey, Patrick, yes. Make sure you're at that place at some time later today, okay, buddy?
Yeah, breaking the illusion, folks. We are recording this right after we just recorded the other the update podcast. But hey, I got to get to a wedding, and I got to figure out how to get there. So that was about. But the beautiful Kia, intelligent Kia, just walked in, and I could not say hello because she looks stunning. She's a bridesmaid, and I'm just a peasant in the audience. So, Adam, let's reset a little bit. Sorry, for the folks that are listening, our studio is anywhere we are in the world.
That's right.
Right? So sometimes you're going to have interruptions. You're going to have room service delivered food. You're going to have a vodka or a phone knock over. These are things that just happen. Okay? We're jet setting. And I'm not going to bring a recording studio everywhere I go because we're giving you real world in the moment content.
Yeah, baby.
So, Adam, let's go back. Let's reset. Where were you before that discussion?
Sure,
we were
talking about my first ever time at AA, how I thought everyone there was a loser, and it turned out I was the loser. And
sure.
we are jump cutting to the first AA meeting that you and I went to, where I had a much different frame of mind.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it wasn't it like at 7 in the morning and I came to your house and
you know, and I don't really remember the time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that it was a night probably around 5 or 6, something like that. We found an AA meeting that was close to where I was living at the time.
I remember that place very well.
Dude, I spent 6 months at that place. Yeah, solid 6 months. But when you and I went, it was a much different feeling and a much different vibe that I was going through. It was definitely a time where I was ready for a change. I even remember telling you at the cabin before all that rock bottom stuff happened that, hey, Patrick, you know, I'm really thinking about stopping drinking. I really want to go to AA. Mm-hmm. I just want this weekend to be this one last hurrah. And holy fuck, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Holy hell, was it? So just the fact that I said to you before all that craziness happened that I wanted to change something, I think you have to be in that frame of mind to really embrace AA. And, you know, AA isn't forever. It doesn't need to be forever. It just needs to be, you know, if you can get your drinking habits under control like I do now, sometimes you just need that 6 month break of constantly being around that AA information.
Yeah, you know, Adam, I really agree with that quite a bit. I think that, like, and there is a thing about AA folks that are in AA where there is, it's almost like a secret society where there's shame or there's, hey, you know, you think you can handle it or. And it's a challenge because if you're in there and you say, yeah, like I'm not I don't think I need to drink heavily anymore, depending on how big your ism is, that's true. I know you, Adam, and you're a casual drinker now.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm enabling you, but no, you I mean, everyone's seen your grind. You don't have time to drink.
I don't.
And at the end of the day, you have a beer, or on a weekend you have a beer, or what have you? Okay, many of my friends do that, but they were not at that level that I believe you were, and I have to use you as an example.
Of course,
where
please,
if you wake up, you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is drink. And not on vacation, either way. It's just your daily routine is wake up and drink.
Yeah.
To me, and you have consequences. And man, I mean, I'm going to be done. I'm going to tell you, Adam, like, the person, you were always funny and you were always a cool guy. And I appreciated your personality. But those days when you were in AA and it was like you were defeated, like, because you were coming to the realization that what you were doing wasn't working and wasn't sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it was it was a really rough time, man, for sure. Like, to have your whole world philosophy suddenly break and realize that this is not working. And to realize, thank God I realized it when I was so young. And we're talking like 27, when in my brain at the time, that wasn't young. So to come to that realization at 27, and I'm 35 right now, dude, it was like the world crumbled around me, and it was the same grind that I'm in right now, except it was a grind of, I went to AA every single day for 6 months, and I was completely sober from booze for 6 months. I had one slip up 3 months in and I smoked some pot, but fucking who gives a shit? But at the time that was a big deal to me, man, because I was really enjoying being sober, and just that was so needed in my life. And I just want to thank you again for taking me. And it's really the fact that that part of our friendship, that time of our friendship, is why we're talking right now. It's why we're doing this podcast. It's why we're still in each other's lives. Because that was a big, big deal, man. It saved my fucking life.
Yeah. No.
I would not be a step away from working in the NWA, a step away from fucking doing something I've always wanted to do forever if it wasn't for that time.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. My pleasure. You're welcome. When you make it big, just we're going to ride your coattails and make this a big podcast too, okay?
Yes, sir.
That is all I ask. Adam, when you're in AA, how was that first step?
Let's explain what the first step is.
Yes. Yeah.
So the first step in AA is admitting that you're powerless over alcohol. And it was apparent. Yeah. I mean, when your mood, when your morning routine includes a morning beer, and hey, if it works for you, it works. I'm not here telling you not to do it. It didn't work for me. And I was so powerless over alcohol. I mean, dude, I mean, when you're just... It was an easy decision. Let's put it that way. At that time, it fucking slapped me in the face every goddamn day. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a girlfriend. I was sleeping on couches. I was sleeping on floors. Folks, I was sleeping on fucking floors and couches for months. It was probably years that I didn't have a goddamn bed. Do you know how much I love my bed? When I got a bed, it was like,
wow. Yeah.
Oh God. Like, it was bad, man. And yeah, the first step was easy.
and what's interesting is that for many, the first step is the hardest.
Well, you know, I couldn't admit it for years. I mean, I started drinking when I was 18. I started drinking on the Jungle Cruise and at Disneyland parties and parties. Take me back to that. Damn.
Yep.
Which we're talking about with Michael Libby coming up this week.
Which we either have already done or we will be doing.
podcasting is an illusion, my friends. But yeah, man, the first step was easy. I don't even what was the second step?
I have no internet access to look that up right now, but
I don't know.
One of those 12 steps.
But what was it? What was it like for you going to the AA meeting with me? You didn't have a drinking problem, or maybe you do, maybe you didn't. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, I mean,
if Patrick is a functioning alcoholic, this guy's got it going.
Right. No, and that's also the thing that you kind of always. hunkered down to is when I've taken people to AA is the line of social drinking, boundary exploration, and then just being a full blown alcoholic. Those are lines that can be hard to define.
Well, here's something too, man. Like, I wouldn't exactly say that I was powerless over alcohol, but I was powerless over my life at that time.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. So I've always had other things going on, I'm very much in control of myself when I am drinking. So like the idea of going and getting trashed and drowning a car, that's never going to happen for me. I've always been responsible for with it. So we always talk, you know, there's these people out there that are so much further down the line than you that you kind of just go, well, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
that's
a very slippery slope though, too, Patrick.
It is.
Just because I'm not that guy doesn't mean that my life isn't fucked up.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, when you go into that meeting, the first meeting, and, you know, Brandon, I think Brandon may have took you too. I mean, I know he went to a hell of a ton of meetings.
Yeah, he did. We really went to a lot of meetings.
You see people on all ends of the spectrum. You see the old timers, people who are like 18, 19, women who are just like, yeah, I had a problem. And it's like, you've been drinking for 6 months. Like, how do you...
Yeah.
How are you that? How do you already know? Or like, well, how bad could it get? Or what the hell, you know? And that's what's a very interesting thing, which is when you're in your 20s to your 25 or 18 to 25, you're changing so much.
Dude, so much. Yeah.
So I think that Brandon Kling, I know he's a listener. He went through this transformation too, where he started drinking very young. I'm not going to speak to his drinking amounts or how much he drank.
Please don't.
But he did a lot.
Yeah.
He went to AA, got sober, and then I think he thought it was a phase, or it was I'm in control of my life and I can do this and it's not going to be a big deal anymore. He's now back in AA.
Yeah.
Because that didn't work out very well.
Well, I mean,
and he knows that, and you know,
yeah, AA, I mean, it's different for everybody, just like anything out there, man. If it helps, it helps. If it helps, do it. If it doesn't, don't do it. And AA 1,000% helped at the time, because I was, you have to be ready to let it help you. God, was I ready to let it help me. And the reason why it was so important for me to go every day for 6 months was to be around those stories, because you hear people's stories and you're like, fuck, that's what I used to do. Mm-hmm. Man, that's what I do all the time. I don't want to do that anymore. So it's a constant reminder of why you're not doing what you don't want to do. And I never really participated much in the meetings. You know, I would say something here and there. And as I, maybe after 3 months, I started to get up in front of the groups and talk about things. But for me, I just needed to go and be reminded.
Yeah. Now, and I think that it's a tool for anybody. If you have a problem with drugs, alcohol, that's your personal decision to either realize it. But man, if you're trying to accomplish your dreams or anything, Adam, you have 12 hours out of your life right now are dedicated to content creation and making money at your side hustle.
Yeah.
And they are your main side hustle, your side hustle.
Yeah.
If you were trashed, there's no way you could be doing any of this.
No, man. Like I wouldn't be able to wake up in the morning, you know, like, I wouldn't be able to, I would have no responsibility. You know, that's what drinking did to me. I just had no response. I had no responsibility about my life. I had no responsibility about my body. I had no responsibility about my emotions. And it was just bad, bad, bad.
And this is what this podcast is all about. Adam and I, we have differing philosophical views that our characters have portrayed over the past, you know, dozens and dozens of episodes. But what we do agree with is personal responsibility, that your input on your life is way bigger than what society. Let's pair. If you're born in a Western country, or you weren't born into complete poverty, and you had a basic standard of living growing up, established household, lights were on. Even those things you can get by. You can get over that. You can overcome those things. But it's all about your actions. And it's harder for some people, easier for some people. It's been hard for you, Adam. It's been really hard. Even though you're a white male, straightish guy. It has been very hard for you.
Easy with that hyperbole there, buddy.
About it being easy or harder?
Yeah, what? Man, it's easy for everybody. If you put your mind to it, it's fucking easy for anybody. But yeah, man, it was hard. It's not hard any. It's always going to be hard, folks.
Yeah.
Anything worth doing is going to be hard.
Well, and the interesting thing is it's hard to make the choice between I'm going to sit down and play video games all morning.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to spend all day learning a new software to make videos better.
Yep.
Though that's the only thing that is hard is choosing your leisure time versus your work and personal development time. If you delay gratification and focus on your personal development, I don't care what profession you want to be in, what industry, how you look, you can make it.
Yep.
In whatever industry you want, but some are going to be more difficult.
Especially
it's all about that
right
work.
Now. Right now is
right.
The best time ever in life. There's bullshit in the world, folks, but let's remember the Black Plague used to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's remember, yeah, yeah. Folks, the Catholic Church used to kill people if you didn't believe in God.
Right.
So everybody relax.
Simpler times.
Simpler times. This is the best moment in history to be alive.
And it's the most peaceful, least amount of crime to be alive as well. And look, folks, turn off this podcast and get to work.
Yeah, baby.
If you want to accomplish your goals. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on today's episode of What I Would Tell My 22-Year-Old Self.
By the way, Patrick, I'd like to make these episodes more like this moving forward. I think that both of us are in such a good headspace right now with this podcast. This was a lot of fun to talk about. I don't mind talking about my past like this with people. It actually reminded me a lot of an AA meeting right now. So this was a lot of fun. Thank you, Patrick.
Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous with Patrick Kling and
Adam Rotella.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Wow, what an episode. Haley just told me to shut the hell up. I don't care if you're recording. Folks, keep tuning in. You never know what's going to happen on this podcast. All right, bye, everybody.